So our first speaker at the top today is Michelle Mannering. Mish joins us from Melbourne. Well, she would normally join us from Melbourne, except she's actually on holiday. So we've got to be extra nice to her because she's taken a little break out of her trip to present for us. Mish works for GitHub, a little company that you might have heard of. It's probably a good thing that we're talking about DevOps with GitHub today because she's going to be an expert on that. But more than that, Mish is a Twitch streamer, a coder by day, an esports gamer by night. She's a public speaker, a journalist, a startup founder. I'm exhausted just doing this intro for you. Wow, I don't think there's anything that you don't cover off. But today, she's going to help us get started with our DevOps journey with DevOps tooling, GitHub, and collaboration. Welcome, Mish.
Thanks so much, Aaron. That was such a lovely introduction. So excited to be here with you all. As Aaron said, I would usually be tuning in to you all from Melbourne, but I'm here in Sydney with this portable setup. So hopefully the Wi-Fi in this place I'm staying at holds, hopefully the internet stays, and hopefully nothing dies. So thank you all for being here and super excited to give this presentation with you all. So as the guys mentioned, I'm starting off with how to actually get started with Azure DevOps, or with DevOps in particular, and then we'll move into Azure and GitHub. The next stages of the DevOps journey will come from the other speakers. So hopefully this will be a really good introduction, really good overview for you all. So this is a learning path that we want to talk about today on the session. So how to get started with DevOps, and then later on we talk about the flow of your work, how to build with quality, how to deliver real change, and then how to operate in the cloud as well. So as the guys mentioned, Tailwind Traders is our fictional company that we're going to be talking about today. I won't talk too much more about them because they gave a really good introduction, overview of what they are. But as the guys said, rapid growth. They've really changed. Their goals have shifted across their entire team. They now need to collaborate and work with people in ways that they didn't need to when they were a smaller company. And they really need to get better with collaboration. They really need to understand how to implement these methods, how to really scale, and therefore they're looking at DevOps to do that for them. So today we're going to talk about what is DevOps, and there's a lot of debate, I suppose, in the tech world about what exactly is DevOps. We're going to talk about that. Then we're going to talk about source control with Git and an introduction to GitHub as well. We're going to talk about how people collaborate with sources and products like Microsoft Teams. And then we're going to talk about how to actually extend that DevOps journey by using VS Code or Visual Studio Code. We're going to call it VS Code for the rest of the session. So firstly, what is DevOps? Now, I mentioned that there's been quite a lot of debate in the scene about what exactly is DevOps. But this is the definition that we have here and that we've been using throughout the Azure DevOps training. So DevOps is a union of people, process, and products to enable continuous delivery and value to your end users. So DevOps is as much about a cultural change as it is about the technology. A lot of companies say, oh, we need to adopt DevOps. You know, what tools and tech do we need to start using? But it's as much about a cultural change and a shift in the way you actually do something as opposed to just the tools that you use. So this is really important. So what we want to look here, this is the cycle of DevOps, and that's that planning, developing, delivering, and then operating. We're going to go through this a little bit. So when we talk about DevOps, a lot of people say, oh, you know, DevOps is just that thing that like high agile tech companies do. And it's all a bit of a myth, but it's really not. It's really fact, and it's driven by these key statistics and key metrics. So we know that any company who uses DevOps is going to be faster to market. They have more frequent deployments. They're faster to commit and deploy any of their code. They have way less failure rates than anyone else who doesn't use DevOps. They recover from incidences much, much quicker. And then overall, this contributes to increased revenue for the company. But ultimately, it comes back to the end user as well. Remember that definition we said of DevOps is about delivering product for the end user. So by using DevOps really well, we build a product, a service that is better for the customer at the end of the day. And that's what we really want. So as we said, it is as much about the people and the tech as it is about the culture. and is about the technology. So what we really want to do is, you know, lots of people talk about this wall, go and play that animation again for you. You know, there's this often this wall of confusion there, and people go, oh, you know, how do we actually get around DevOps? How do we start introducing DevOps to the company? A lot of it comes from that top-down approach. It really has to come from the top of the tree and just disseminate that through the organization. It can't just be just a bottom up. You can't just have, you know, the people writing code doing DevOps, because at the end of the day, it won't build a holistic product and you won't build something that's really, really useful for your end users. And that's what we want to do when people use DevOps. So this is the process of DevOps. It's quite an in-depth process. There's four main steps to it: the plan, develop, deliver, and operate. But when we're talking about this process, it's not just thinking about each of these as an individual process. How do they all link together? So we're talking about the planning stage. We're talking about, all right, well, we've got to plan the sprints. We've got to check code. We've got to track all our changes. And then we've got to start developing all those things. So we've got to look at, you know, our build system, our build cycles. We've got to look at our testing. We've got to look at our security assets and our security scans. Are we being compliant? Are we building code that has, you know, all these dependencies that we have to worry about later? And then, like, you know, once we deliver and operate that system, build that system and deliver it out, is it then good? Does it actually need to be picked up and redeveloped? Do we have to, you know, redeploy things? So throughout this whole process, automation is really, really important. Now, it's important for a few reasons, but one of the main reasons is, you know, we mentioned before that if companies that are using DevOps are deploying code much, much faster than other companies who aren't using DevOps. So if you're deploying code all the time, you need to ensure that when you're deploying that code, that you have all this automation in place to be able to support that. If you're constantly deploying code, you're constantly putting out code, you're repeating processes, you're being consistent, we need a lot of those things to be automated so it doesn't just come back onto the people at the end of the day. Once that code is deployed, it needs to be monitored. We can't have developers sitting there looking at code all day, every day. So that system and that process needs to be automated as well. We need automation to understand if our app or our system, is it down? Is it up? You know, do we need to intervene there to ensure that our system continues running? Also, what are our users doing with our app? You know, if we've got automation in place, we can understand like what users are doing with that. And then with all that information, we can then take it back to our team and say, you know, are we building the right product? Are there ways, are there things that users are doing that we didn't expect they would do with the product? Do we need to change what we do? Ultimately, do we need to build something better for our users? So I think that's what's really important. Again, it comes back to that that idea of why companies that use DevOps are so much more successful, because they have this automation in place. They have this, you know, this cycle where they continuously understand how their users are using their product to build better products. All right, so now we're going to talk about source control. We're going to talk about Git and GitHub. Now, a lot of people say to me, again, as Aaron mentioned, I work at GitHub, and that's one of the biggest questions I get asked is, what is Git and what is GitHub? So if you haven't heard of Git at all, Git is a source control system. So it's a distributed version control system, and it's a way to ensure that whatever we're working on, it always has the same thing, so that me who's working on it here in Melbourne or currently in Sydney, that I'm working on the same version as my colleagues in America and the UK. Because if we're not all working on the same version, I might be a couple of versions behind. I might be fixing things that are already been fixed or that are not even any features anymore. So we need to ensure that our systems and our versions are up to speed. So that's what Git is that version control system. So then we look at what is GitHub then. So GitHub itself is a way for us to store this this Git repository. So if the Git repository is our version control and it's a ledger basically of our history and the way we work with our code, we need a place to store that. One way is GitHub. GitHub isn't just a place to store code though. It is also a place where we collaborate on that code. So here we've got the repository for Tailwind Traders. And on this repository, all the people who are involved in the business are on this as a team member. They can share their expertise. They can collaborate on the code. They can use different things. Like we've got a whole bunch of different features now for GitHub, including things like code spaces, which we're going to go into a little bit in the presentation. And we've got our continuous delivery and continuous integration pipeline with GitHub Actions. And it's just a way for everyone to communicate and talk together and work together. One of the things I really, really like about GitHub too is the fact that it's a really, really amazing place to collaborate for developers and non-developers alike as well. We don't have time to go into all that today. What we're going to talk about is the code side of it, but that's one thing that I really, really love about GitHub. So as I mentioned, there's a whole bunch of key features on GitHub, and it's a great place to collaborate with your team members and everyone across your organization. So if we talk about a way to collaborate with code, we also want a way to collaborate verbally and videos and things like that. So Teams is another great tool for collaboration. As GitHub, we use Teams as well. I think everything that we organized for this all around Azure DevOps Day was all done on Teams. So we can chat from anywhere in the world. We can meet anywhere in the world. We can share files. We can collaborate with one another. And we can do it all either synchronously if we're on the same time zone, like me and Aaron are being in Sydney and Melbourne, or we can collaborate across time zones as well and work asynchronously, which is, you know, really, really key to the way we work today. So what we want to talk about now is VS Code or Visual Studio Code. This is a really important tool for working with DevOps. It's something I use every day. I really enjoy it. I really love it. So if you haven't seen Visual Studio Code, it is a code editor and it runs on pretty much any system, iOS, Windows, and Linux. It's got a whole bunch of Git commands built into it, so you can push or pull your code to your Git repository directly from VS Code. There's a whole bunch of extensions, which is really cool. If you've used any kind of text editor before and you're using particular code, you would obviously like to see all your code beautifully highlighted. So we have all the syntax highlighting in VS Code, really easy debugging. Fun fact, it's also on GitHub and it's open source and you can contribute to the code as well, which also means that it's completely free, which is something that I really love about VS Code is that anyone can contribute to it, anyone can use it, and it's on GitHub. Okay, so I've got a quick demo now for using, for tying all these things together. I know we're like blazing through this. It's a lot to take in, but hopefully this demo is going to show you a few things. So let's get into it. So here we've got the Tailwind Traders website. This is opened, so it's a repository that's on GitHub. It's opened locally on a machine. So you can clone and use a repo and put it on your local machine, work on it locally, make any changes and things you want to it. And then when it's ready, you can send it back to the cloud or back to your GitHub. So you can see we've got a whole bunch of extensions here. So we've already got some Azure CLI stuff. We've got some Git Lens. We've got Cloud Code. There's a whole lot of really cool extensions you can add into VS Code. One of those extensions is GitHub pull requests. So pull requests are built into the code. We can see here the person who's created this repo is working on it, has created a pull request for updating some of the code. And we can see all the different pull requests they've made there and also some of the information about each of the pull requests there. So one of the files I'm working on is this YAML file, which is one of our GitHub Actions files, so our CI/CD file. They're looking at the website going, oh, okay, there's a few changes that we want to make to this website. We can see if we have a look at the repository as well, we can see the types of languages that this was written in, obviously being a website, it's mostly JavaScript, some HTML there, CSS, a little bit of C# as well. So we can see like the types of code the repository is written in. We can see here too that you can see it's all the information, all the files are used for the website. So we can see it's Tailwind Traders dash website is the repo, and this is what they've got on their system, on their local machine. They're going to work on this. So they're deploying this onto the website. So this is an action that deploys the code to the website once it's complete. So GitHub Actions can be used for pretty much anything. Like, for example, you could write a GitHub action that says, when I deploy code to the website, send out a tweet. You can write a GitHub action to check to see if dependencies have been met. You can deploy a GitHub action to double check that all the tick boxes have been checked before a code gets submitted. You can even deploy a GitHub action to, oh, what's another really cool one we had recently? I always like keep thinking of all the GitHub actions. There's one even for like resizing images. Like if there's an image detected, automatically resize this image for me. So this one here, they're trying to, they're using GitHub Action to send the code directly to the website, and they've got the code here and they want to send it. And I think there's an issue with the code. So they're having a look and going, okay, well, let's synchronize the code first. So synchronize it means that it's pulling in the, it says master, we've now changed that to main. So it's pulling in whatever code is hosted on GitHub. It's pulling in all that code and putting it on the local machine. Because we know that we, as I mentioned before, one of the biggest things about working on code is being able to collaborate with people all over the world. So if someone's made a change overnight to the code base on GitHub, when I get on and work on it the next day on my computer, I want to ensure that I have the same version. So what I'm going to do is pull in that version. So that's what they're doing here. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to check out the action that they've built for staging the website to, or staging the build to the website. So we can see if we have a look at the action here, it's currently in it was in the build phase. Now it's installing the dependencies. Sorry, this is the full build. It's installing dependencies before it goes into the build. So when you run a GitHub action for the first time, it sets up the job. It runs the action that you've asked it to do. It's set up .NET Core and Node 14 because the person who's written this has said that those are things that you need to have in order for this to run. It's installed any other dependencies. It's built it. It's tested it. But for some reason, it's failed at the publishing stage. Now, if we scroll right down to the bottom, but this is some of the debugging. So we're going to debug this and understand why it's not publishing. So we need to find the line or where it's broken, find the line where that error is occurring. Now, remember, one of the things we're doing here is we're running this locally at the moment. So we can see there's a process completed with exit code 1. So it looks like there is a failed at node-sass. So it looks like there's some sort of dependency issue with node here. So what they want to do, or what we want to do, is we want to ensure that we can replicate that before we go and debug it. So before we go and debug it in our own environment, we need to see if that everything that's been built into the code is actually correct and that it runs. So there's no point deploying it on my local machine and then it running, because I might have all these things installed on my local machine already that might enable it to run, and therefore when we've pushed it to the site, it's broken because the site doesn't have all the dependencies in the background. So what we're going to do is we're going to open it up with a code spaces. Now, I mentioned code space really briefly before as a new thing that we announced about a year ago now, and it's a fully functioning dev environment. You can use a code space from anywhere in the world as long as you have an internet connection. Pretty sure you can even do it on an iPad at the moment. But if you open up a code space, what it does is it installs all the dependencies needed within the space. So whoever set up this code space has said, all right, for this project, I need these things installed with these extensions and have all this information already built into the environment. So you can see there, it's initialized the code space. It's built the container for it to work in, and now it's running it. This can take anywhere between 10 seconds, and I think the longest I took was like probably a couple of minutes because of the dodgy internet we have here in Australia. But if you have really good internet, this runs really, really quickly. So it's a fully functioning dev environment that you can just use anywhere in the world, which is one of the amazing things. I remember my boss saying to me, oh, you developer kids these days, you have it so easy. You know, you just click a button and a code space opens. He's like, back in my day, it would have taken us 6 months to get a PC up and running with all the code, the dependencies, all the products and services needed on that PC to, or that computer to run. Whereas here, we've got everything running completely in this environment, which is amazing. So what we're going to do is we're going to go into the code space here and see what's actually happening. We're going to see if this web deployment actually works with what's currently built into the framework of the code. We want to see if it's failing because of something that we haven't written into the code properly, or we want to see if it's failing because we haven't got a dependency installed or something here. So what we want to do, this is a really, really good way to test and debug. So we're going to try this out. So we're having a look at the different applications or the different settings here, and we're going back into the YAML file because the YAML file is the part where it's failing. So it's failing on that build. And what we can actually do here is we can see this YAML file is currently open in our VS Code. But what we can do is we can actually connect it directly to the code space and use it and install it and therefore run it remotely within our code space, which is really cool to be able to connect VS Code and code spaces. So what it does is once you've got the file and you connect it to code spaces, it'll open up code spaces in a new version of your VS Code. So you can run it all and do things really, really easily and awesome. Now, the guy who has put this together has just discovered that he's not that great at this debugging stuff. So he's phoning a friend. One of the cool things about VS Code and something I use quite often is the collaboration part of VS Code, where two people can work on the same file together. If you have Teams, you can even just open up Teams and start a conversation straight away. I don't think we're going to get the audio from Zach, but we can just call Zach and be like, oh, hey, Zach, we're having a bit of trouble with getting the build working for this. It seems to be a node issue. I'm not that great at node. Are you able to help? And Zach pops on and he says, yep, sure, share me the screen. So we can share our VS code to Zach, and Zach can jump on, and we should be able to see like a cursor that Zach's using pop up on the screen. Aaron mentioned that I do some Twitch streaming, and this is something I use quite often when I'm doing live streaming. Like, someone will jump in and say, hey, I can help out. I'm like, cool, here's my screen, share, and then we can see that they can come in and make some changes. So Zach's come in and changed it and gone, okay, well, it looks like you've got a different version of Node running, so let's change that from Node 14 to Node 10. And Zach's like, oh, sweet, I can easily do that. So Zach does that, and then what we need to do now is send that version that we've just changed back to the full version so that everyone has the same thing. So we can see that the pull request is opened here and it's already added some nice information already, saying that it's being co-authored by Zach. We're changing it to Node 10 and it's asking, would we like to commit our changes? So for those of you who are not that familiar with the terms of GitHub, so commit means we are committing to put this change into the code base. So we're going to commit it to Git, which means we're going to commit it to the latest version. If we're working on a branch, we can commit it to that branch. We can see here we're working on the master, which is what we've now called the main. But we say we're committing this to the main, saying, yep, this is all good. This is working. It's nice. Zach's an expert in this thing. He's fixed it. And we're going to commit that. And now we're going to jump in and we can, oh, actually, that's another really cool thing you can do. If you're not using Teams, you can just audio call from VS Code. So a lot of people obviously have been using Teams or Zoom or something like that. So you can call there, or you can call directly from VS Code, which is really, really awesome. So if we go back here and we have a look at action, so we've deployed that code back to the main branch. So we have a look here. This shouldn't fail now because we've fixed that that dependency there, changing it from Node 14 to Node 10. We can see here it's now, so it's set up Node 10 now, not Node 14. It's installed the dependencies, that worked. It built, that worked. It tested, that worked. And then we see, look, it's published. So we've got a tick on the published side of it. Now it's deploying the website as it goes there, run. So it looks like it's worked there on the deployment. So we've got nice ticks and we've got the completed job at the bottom there as well. So if we open that up, looks like there's the website for Tailwind Traders. So if we open that, it should now work. So let's have a look. Yay, it now works. So everything they did for the website is now working. So all it needed to do was change from node 14 to node 10. So so that's a really really easy way of showing you how we can collaborate, how we can do a few small things with some of the features that both VS Code and GitHub Codespaces offers. All right, okay, no, we don't need to run the demo again. It's done. All right, we've gone through Visual Studio Code, back to Tailwind and Traders. All right, cool. So with Tailwind Traders, they obviously had a problem, as we were saying right at the start of the presentation, that they are rapidly growing. They lack the collaboration tools of a bigger business. They were fine when they were smaller because everyone was doing a little bit of everything. Everyone knew what everyone was doing. And everyone worked together, probably in the same building too. Now as they're scaling, they're starting to work in different time zones. They're starting to work with different skill sets, and they really need that collaboration. So the solution, they obviously use that version control and that source control through GitHub. They're able to collaborate there. They would use Teams to jump on a call and talk about what they were doing. And then they're able to collaborate using Visual Studio Code to make those changes, to work together, and then go and deploy that. So this is a really, really good solid foundation for them to start building on top of their DevOps strategy. So some of the things that you might like to have a look at if you're new to DevOps, you want some more information about DevOps, is the DevOps Resource Center. So there's heaps of stuff on tutorials, getting you started, learning Git, and learning a little bit about the agile development as well. You can have a look at some events and talks and grab a lot of information from that site there. The other one is you can actually get certified in this. If you want to be a certified DevOps solutions expert, you can go and do that. So you can get a certification to put on your LinkedIn profile and go and teach DevOps to your company as well. Thank you so much for listening to me. Thank you for taking the time out to come and learn a little bit about DevOps and VS Code and things like that. And I wish you all the best on your DevOps journey.